5-4. Heartbeat. Heartbeat.
Was haben wir die White Lies geliebt? Song wie There Goes Our Love Again. Vom dritten Album war das schon Big TV. Aber hey, wie sehr lieben wir die White Lies noch immer? Ich auf jeden Fall, ganz, ganz tolle Band aus London. Aus dem Westen, Ealing, der Bezirk dort, ganz im Westen, Ealing Broadway, FMP Heartbeat Lieblingsband, der neue Song Nothing On Me, anders als zum Beispiel There Goes My Love Again, aber ist ja auch klar, nach all den Jahren und so. Und dann hören wir noch einen White Lies Song, Tokyo, die FM4 Acoustic Version. 6 Jahre alt, Harry McVeigh am Konzertflügel. Aber hier jetzt mal Nothing on Me, der neue Song der White Lies aus London. We'll be right back.
it's White Lies here, and we are going to perform a version of our track Tokyo.
Tolle Version von Tokyo, White Lies am Konzertflügel, am Bösendorfer Flügel, Studio 2 im ORF Funkhaus im 4. Bezirk, im März 2019 die FM4 Acoustic Session mit den White Lies. Da hat er gesungen, Get Me London, Get Me Soul. Get me Bangkok, get me Rome, get me Tokyo. Ja, Tokyo. Eine Stadt, in der ich noch nie war. Ich möchte schon ewig nach Japan, hab's bisher noch nicht geschafft. Warst du schon mal in Japan? Wir bleiben hier in FMW Heartbeat in Tokio. Hier ist die englische Musikerin Shura aus ihrem neuen Album, ihrem dritten Album. Der Song, der heißt Tokio. FMW Heartbeat. Bis Mitternacht noch. Musik aus England von Alexandra Lila oder Lila Denton. Sie nennt sich Shura, ein Song aus ihrem neuen Album. Schon die dritte Platte von Shura, der Song Tokio. Ja, und wenn wir schon in Japan sind hier, dann bleiben wir doch noch ein bisschen dort. Day off in Kyoto. Ganz genau, ein Day Off in Kyoto. Lila aus Tirol wünscht sich das am FMW Heartbeat Feiertag. Natürlich von Phoebe Bridgers aus den Staaten Kyoto. I'm not afraid of the dark.
FM4. Heartbeat. Heartbeat.
With your bright yellow gun, you own the sun. And I think I need a little poison to keep me tame, keep me away. I have nothing to offer but confusion. And a circus in my head, in the middle of the bed, in the middle of the night, with your bright silver crown, you own the town. And I think I need a little poison. I have no secrets, I have no lies, I have nothing to offer but the middle of the night. And I think you need a little poison.
Eine richtige Force of Nature. Bright Yellow Gun von Christine Hirsch und Throwing Muses. Ein Song aus dem 95er Album University. Die waren da sozusagen Big Player, so ein bisschen damals. Der neue Alternative Rock, ganz groß im Zug von Grunge. Und so Christine und ihre Band aus Boston, Massachusetts. Und ich war ganz froh irgendwie, auch wenn das ein bisschen komisch war, dass sie abgesagt hat, den Wien-Gig ganz kurzfristig. Ich war nicht in der Stadt und ich habe mir gedacht, oh, ich würde das so gern sehen. Ich meine, eine legendary Frau. Christine Hirsch und ihre Band Throwing Muses, aber sie hatte was mit dem Hals, Laryngitis, hat das Chelsea-Konzert in Wien abgesagt. Ich hoffe, sie kommt wieder, Throwing Mooses, Bright Yellow Gun, and Klassiker. Auch diese Musikerin hat abgesagt. Viel weniger Jahre auf dem Buckel als Christine Hirsch. Aber es ist nichts geworden trotzdem mit dem Wien-Gig. Mia Baron aus New York, Pom Pom Squad. Dieser Song Montauk. I thought I'd see more stars out in Montauk. Ein Ort, wo die Stars rumhängen auf Long Island. FM4 Heartbeat bis Mitternacht noch. Das Pom-Pom Squad Montauk.
Don't think tomorrow go how we plan. I see the shadows of clouds on the sand. Watch the waves swell. Hold up in the hotel. French bread and butter, fresh fruit from the vine. Rushed in my head from the whiskey and wine. Must be easy.
Von Pom Pom Squad, Mia Baron aus Florida, aus New York. Konzerte absagen, Mia Baron, Christine Hirsch. Auch Julian Baker musste absagen, glaube in den Staaten. Weiß nicht warum, ist auch egal. Julian und Torres, Off the Wagon.
Driving the block to put off getting home. It's a whole lot of work to get a little bit stoned. Threading the needle, changing the dose till I'm immune to the cure. You have not a thing else left to look forward to outside of getting low. Burning one after your shift at the restaurant, getting right to the show. Makes sense. I wanna feel good.
to you. Everybody knows you're off the wagon, still hanging on for dear life. Well, it's dragging you beneath the wheels. Think you're finally finding out the pageant. Ain't worth it, no one does it right. You get the hand you didn't try. Too deep.
Oh mein Gott, so schön die Pedal Steel Gitarre da. ein bisschen ein Country-Touch in diesem Song. So wie vorhin im Countrified Super Indie von Julian und Mackenzie, von Julian Baker und Torres. Off the Wagon, hier auch ein bisschen ein Country-Touch. Feeling of Falling We Crave von den Stereophonics aus Wales. Ich weiß nicht, welches Feeling of Falling er da meint, nachdem wir uns da so sehnen. Anyway, I have no idea what he's on about. Aber ist ja egal, die Pedal Steel Guitar da top. Und sein Singen sowieso. Und die Musik Stereophonics. Ganz große britische Band. Das aktuelle Album Ende April erschienen. Ich schlepp schon ganze Zeit mit hier zu FM4 Heartbeat. Und es ist sich nie ausgegangen. Da sagt ihr schon, hey, magst du die Stereophonics nimmer? Und ich sag, nein. Der Song heißt Make It On Your Own vom neuen Album Stereophonics. FM4 Heartbeat bis Mitternacht noch.
Trapped under the ice.
Kelly Jones und seine Stereophonics aus Newport in Wales, dem Industrieort, Bergbaustadt, Hafenstadt, großer englischer Ort. Dieser Spirit, der ist auch immer drin bei ihm, in den Songs, bei den Stereophonics. Make it on your own. Da hat er gesungen, Fires glow, some won't burn forever. Ich bin ja ein großer Feuerfan. So, jetzt ist ja die Zeit da gerade, Petersfeuer. Summer's the solstice und so schon wieder. Ich meine, der Tag wird kürzer, aber who cares? Die Nacht lieben unter uns, die sagen, who cares, dass der Tag kürzer wird. Wie auch immer, auf Stereophonics folgt Stereo Foundation. Come on!
Yesterday has gone, tomorrow's far away. She wakes up in her bed alone. Goes down into the kitchen, makes a cup of tea. Then falling to her knees, she cries. About a thousand lies in her life. Come on, come on, come on, let the sun shine in. Let a new day begin, and you will shine again. Come on, come on, come on, let the sun shine in.
Draped in my body with no rhythm, just
Musik aus Großbritannien, aus Wales. Kate Le Bon und Heaven is no feeling. Ja, was dann? Vielleicht ist Heaven ja ein Ort, ein handfester Ort. Oder vielleicht The Deep Blue. Das ist Self-Esteem, The Deep Blue, okay.
And another thing left that I need to say. Took a knife in case it was a home game. It was wrong and right. Did you expect I might be on the way to enlighten yet another boy? I had a clean girl brow. It was a little forced to be what I want while pleasing everyone. And you can sing and you can thrive and you could never say I didn't try, but it was for who I was and not who I'd become. So what's left? I hear you cry. It's just another new mountain to climb, but I know that at the top is where the next hill starts. And there is nowhere left for your head to turn. Yeah, there's no. But without the learning, I have to spend their energy coming for anybody who doesn't get it right, who really gets it right. And I'm a ghost, it's a machine. Like you, but boring. And in the end, I'm gonna
Musik aus England von Rebecca Taylor aus Sheffield, sie nennt sich Self-Esteem, hat in England jetzt eine Pop-Karriere, auch mit diesem Song The Deep Blue Okay. Rebecca hat Alben gemacht, ich glaube 5 mit der Band Slow Club. Ich war ein großer Fan von Slow Club, FM4, wir haben sie oft gespielt. Ja, Slow Club, das war mal It's Self-Esteem Now. Aber Rebecca hat noch immer großen Respekt, was sie gemacht hat mit Charles Watson und Slow Club.
I think that it just years and years of being on the road and learning how to perform helped. I think it honestly helped because the trajectory was so slow with Slow Club. I was so desperate and ambitious to get it to be bigger and it never sort of got where I wanted it to. So it meant that there was a lot of hunger still. But yeah, I loved Slow Club too. I think we were a really good band, but it was just really hard to, this music is so much more than just the songs for me. It's like the art of it and the visuals and the performance. And I couldn't get, you know, everyone else in that band to sort of do what I was into, so I had to go and do it on my own. And I, you know, I'm glad I did, but I'm proud of the band we were.
You want what you
Rebecca Taylor und Slow Club aus England. Complete Surrender, das sage ich auch. Ich gebe auf. Die Uhr sagt, es ist bald Mitternacht. Der FM4 Film Podcast kommt. Who am I, dass ich denen Zeit wegnehme? FM4 Heartbeat war das handverlesene Gitarrenpop, Indie-Rock, Alternative-Pop. Ich hoffe, es war ein bisschen was dabei für dich. Hier sind noch die Ravenettes. Das war ein Killer aus dem neuen Album. Und ich, Eva Umba, sag wie immer vielen Dank, dass du mit dabei warst. Alles Liebe und bis bald. Bye.
In Joy Division. Hallelujah.
Now remember, we are live, so no swearing or they will cut you off.
What about Big Dog's cock? Can you say that?
You can't stay here. I've made arrangements for you to leave town while I sort this out.
You can't do this. I'm a lawyer.
Lawyer? A social worker for terrorists. You've crossed the line. You're on their side now.
There's this kid, and he's interesting.
There's an awkwardness. Something very pure. You can't fake it.
Your kid's name's James Dean.
Existence. Well, what does it matter?
Hypnosis created the most important artwork in the world.
I exist on the best terms I can. The past is now part of my future.
I think I'll have to talk to someone about that. Reach out
and touch faith. Herzlich willkommen zum FM4 Film Podcast, sagt Christian Fuchs, und wir sind jetzt nicht im FM4 Studio wie gewohnt, sondern wir sind in den Räumlichkeiten des Kunstforums Wien. Herzlichen Dank an dieser Stelle, und ich sitze unserem Gast gegenüber. A very warm welcome to Mr. Anton Corbijn.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're an iconic photographer. You did legendary music videos. You have been art director for a few bands. You did a lot of stuff for Depeche Mode. Still today, you did a lot of stuff for U2, record covers and pictures and music videos. But you also did 4 feature films. You did Control in 2007. You did The American in 2010. A Most Wanted Man, 2014, Life, 2015, and a documentary, Squaring the Circle, 2023, about designer team Hypnosis. Let's dive deep into the beginning, maybe. What was your first cinematic experience or a film you can remember, maybe as a child? I've read you have a Protestant childhood, so maybe you saw films later in life, but what made a big impression of you cinematic?
Well, we in Holland, I grew up on a village on an island, so the access to cinemas was negligent. So we had a TV, black and white, and we had 2 channels. And of course, proper serious films I never got to see. On TV, we saw American series like Rawhide, which I loved, which is a Western, with Gil Favor and Clint Eastwood. And I love that. So that's why I think I like Westerns, because I grew up with watching that on TV on a Saturday afternoon. And there was a lot of slapstick as well, Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton, all these people were in a program called Comedy Capers, and Lauren Hardy. So I loved all that. Then the first time I went to cinema was when we moved away from the island. When I was 11, my family moved to the middle of Holland. And then I think I was 14 or 15, my parents took me to see The Sound of Music, which was a safe bet, I guess. And that was fantastic to see a big screen.
Having a childhood without many moving images around, without images in general, many around, did this make you more sensible in a way or more serious when you talk or when you work with visuals?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what the effect of it is, you know. I grew up in a very serious childhood, so everything I did, I think I felt was serious. So my photography, I took very serious. And later, when I tried to do less serious pictures, it was very hard to actually get results that were not serious, because they were still good results, and had a layer of meaningfulness to it. So I know. I think you're so formed by where you grew up and the cultural impact of seeing things for the first time. Like, I went once to a museum before I was 18, only once. And it was with my father when he took me to a museum, a Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam. There's an exhibition of Rembrandt, but it was the religious paintings from Rembrandt. And of course, my father was the minister of religion. He had no idea about art, but he understood the religious meaning of these paintings. It's the only reason we went to see them, as they were religious paintings.
You went to London in the late 70s and worked for papers like the New Music Express, did photographs of lots of musicians of the time, like from the post-punk scene and from the pop scene. When was the point in your life when you thought, okay, maybe I want to take a step in the direction of moving images or even making films? Was it through music videos?
It was for me already a big step to make music videos from stills perspective to movie things, but I started that early 80s, so I was one of the earlier music video makers. And then, funny enough, I worked with 2 German bands for my first videos. One was Palais Chambourg and one was Propaganda. Propaganda, of course, was produced by Trevor Horn, who was in London for ZTT Records, and I did a lot of stuff for ZTT with Frankie Goes to Hollywood and Out of Noise and whatever. But it was not till, I guess, 20 years later, that people started to say you should be making films, you know, because your videos are always stories. And I was shy, and I could not see myself making a film, because I had no idea how you made a film. I was not technical. I was not in informed enough to be making a film. So I always said no. They sent me scripts, and I said no. And it was not me pushing for it. They were pushing for it. But it was when the story of Ian Curtis came around that I thought, oh, maybe if I ever make a film, this might be it, because I knew Ian Curtis. He was one of the reasons why I moved to England, at least his music was. He was in a band called Joy Division. And anyway, I decided to make that film, and that won major prizes in England, at least. So then I got offered other films, and suddenly I was a film director. But I had not seen that coming, you know.
You said your music videos have always been around stories. When I think of your videos, they're also quite abstract sometimes, and they leave a lot of room for imagination, because often music videos are little films, like with a structure, like a film that's sometimes boring because with an ending and everything, but there's much more room for imagination. How was the step from like a script and a filmic structure with the music videos before?
Music videos are, of course, a very different kettle of fish than films and movies. But you got, the great thing is when you make music videos, you understand about movement and maybe about light and all these things. So you get more easier with the equipment that's being used, and you feel more at home, I guess, in that world. And at least that worked for me. My first movie is Control. The camera hardly ever moved, you know. So it was very much like stills. And now I'm more confident and the camera moves a lot more. So that was a process for me. You know, I'm not a natural filmmaker. I know very few movies, actually. So I don't remember much. It's another, I'm a dreamer.
Control is also in black and white. And yes, it reminds one of a lot of your pictures as well. So the aesthetic was a little bit orientated on the time, where during the time when you made the pictures of Joy Division and bands like this, was this an influence, your own photography on this film?
Well, when I thought of Joy Division, because I met them in November 79, you know, England was a very poor country. There's two reasons. One was that I quite often went for the music magazines to Manchester or Birmingham, all these countries, but you go by over cities, you go by train, and then you see always the back of the houses, you know, when you're on the train. And it's so poor compared to where I came from Holland. It was so poor. So it always reminded me of the Joy Division time, how poor England was. And then in the days that I took pictures of Joy Division, of course, you shot on film. There was no digital world. And the only people that were interested in Joy Division were independent magazines, and they were always printed in black and white. It's only when people had hits, then they moved on to the magazines that were printed in color. It's as simple as that. If you look for pictures of Joy Division in color, I think you don't see many because people couldn't sell those, you know, because nobody who printed color was interested in Joy Division at the time. It wasn't until Ian committed suicide, and the song that came out the next week, which was Love Will Tear Us Apart, was the first hit. And then people would have wondered,